Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear about the amazing work of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network and learn how recreation therapy is helping veterans live happier and healthier. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Memorial Day is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. More importantly, it's our nation's day to remember the brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives to ensure freedom for all Americans. It's easy to lose sight of those sacrifices as we're firing up the backyard grill with family and friends or fishing at the lake. Nevertheless, it's important we take time to reflect on those noble service members. I'm reminded of a memorial at Gettysburg recognizing the 1st Minnesota's historic sacrifice during our Civil War. On it, the inscription reads, "These dead shall not have died in vain. All time is the millennium of their glory." Please join us this Memorial Day in remembering and honoring the fallen from all branches of our nation's military.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to talk today about how recreation therapy is helping our veterans live happier and healthier. And joining us to do that are Casey Lindstedt and Janelle Gustafson from the Minneapolis VA. Ladies, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having us. Glad to be here.
Casey, we're going to start with you. I understand that you've got a Bachelor of Science degree in therapeutic recreation.
I do, from the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse.
I didn't even know they had a degree in that.
They do indeed.
So you can go to college and learn how to do the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Well, that's terrific. How long have you been at the VA?
Almost 12 years.
And what's your position there?
I am currently the recreation therapist within the Comprehensive Pain Clinic.
Pain Clinic, okay. And Janelle, I understand you went to the University of North Dakota.
That's right.
Is that Bison up there? Go Bison?
Sure is not. Go Sioux.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong ones. I'm from Minnesota, so we messed that up. But you've got a Bachelor of Science in Recreation and Leisure Services. Can you tell us what's that about?
That's right. It's the same as what Casey's degree in at UND. We had a program that started out with the Recreation Parks degree, and my emphasis area is in therapeutic recreation. So end up being a certified therapeutic recreation specialist.
Then I can already tell you're mad at me for messing up with the Bison and the Sioux. My apologies.
I'll forgive you.
How long have you been at the VA?
Going on 11 years now.
And you are a recreational therapist in the Spinal Cord Injury and Disorder Center?
That's correct.
So you're in there, and she's in Comprehensive Pain Clinic. Do you both work together on this project as well?
We do on occasion. When we partner with community organizations, we really bring all the teams together. Janelle and I both operate sort of independently in our teams, but there's a lot of times when we collaborate together.
So you just mentioned something that you go out. Do you go out and teach?
Well, no, we work with veteran service organizations, and we bring our veterans into the community. That's really the bread and butter of what we do, is getting our vets out into the community and back kind of into life outside the hospital.
Well, that sounds good. Janelle, I'm going to come back to you and say, you know, what is recreation therapy? I mean, I'm an old Vietnam veteran. I don't know these things.
Well, recreation therapy is really our great opportunity to use the things that we all love to do on a daily basis to help people when they're rehabilitating, whether it has to do with physical rehab, like after a spinal cord injury, or mental health, or with pain. We get to use playing basketball or playing cribbage or going kayaking or fishing to help work on the skills. And sometimes it's distraction. Sometimes it's just getting out and feeling good and being able to return to those activities. So our job is to use them to help you do things you would also do in speech therapy or PT or occupational therapy.
So, Casey, injuries and pain can be debilitating.
Absolutely.
And I suppose people have a tendency to just sit down and take some pills and not move.
Yes, they do. And sort of the underlying theme of rec therapy is we want you to get out and do something. Something is better than nothing. Anything's better than your couch, in my opinion. But we, you know, rec therapists really see the glasses half empty, but very much ready for more. So we get people out, we get people connected with their community, but bottom line, we get them moving.
So Janelle, it's get up and get moving. And if you use it, it might be a little less painful and you might get stronger. Is strength part of this?
That's right. If you think about how many times it takes to cast a fishing rod to catch that first fish, you could do a lot of upper extremity exercise.
It takes me a lot of cast to get a fish, but most people can catch them quicker than I do.
Right. Well, sometimes we work on those skills in the clinic first. So we work on shooting baskets or casting a fishing rod. If we need to use adaptive equipment to help somebody get back to that activity, that repetitive activity and just getting out and getting moving can help work on that strength.
We're speaking about recreation therapy on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Casey, small steps first?
Small steps first, yep. So often we begin one-on-one in the clinic, and we just sort of talk about what's going on, what are the barriers, and we try to knock those down. Sometimes we can adapt and overcome barriers right then and there in the clinic. Sometimes it takes a little more hand-holding, and we work on, kind of like Janelle said, we work on how do you hold a fishing rod now that your hand hurts or you've got some different changes in your body. And then we get them out and about and in the community. We get them in the lake. We get them out with their people on the fishing pier. And we kind of just progress in that way.
So if they can't cast the fishing rod, you just throw them in the lake.
Well, that's, you know, it's been known to happen from time to time. Never.
No, I'm sure you wouldn't do that. Janelle, I can understand the physical issues. If you had an injury or you're suffering from pain and it hurts to walk, is there a mental obstacle here too?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, after whether it's, again, having an injury or other mental health problems that people have, just going back out into the community where you feel different than you did before something like that happened and having somebody to help support you to go there or to show you how to get through some of those obstacles. It can be, we've got, you know, a lot of times patients that can do things and they can do them in the hospital, and it's hard to transition that out to going out to eat in a restaurant or going back out to places that are very familiar to them because it's new and different. And sometimes we need a little bit of a nudge.
So, Casey, if they've had an injury or if they had some problem, they've had a change.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're maybe at a new normal.
Absolutely.
And you have to convince them, you can do this.
Absolutely.
A little bit at a time. Let's see what you're capable of doing and let's push the envelope.
Yes, yes. And sometimes it's just the support of having someone, a therapist with you. I remember I was working with a young man who lost his arm in combat and was with us, and we spent hours. He wanted to go shopping, and he wanted to go to the mall with his family, and we spent hours talking about his fears. How would people see him? How would he behave? How would he respond? And so we talked about it, and then we went during a very low, busy time. It was, you know, kind of a Tuesday morning, and we kind of practiced and how did that feel, and we went out and did it again, and finally it wasn't long and he was out with his family and shopping, and he had established his new normal in that way.
So part of it's getting used to the prosthetics and how to use them, and mm-hmm. and not worrying about people aren't looking at you, just yeah. go about your business.
Exactly.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about some specific instances of how you've helped our veterans get to their new normal. We're speaking with Casey Lindstedt and Janelle Gustafson from the Minneapolis VA about recreation therapy. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about recreational therapy at the Minneapolis VA with Casey Lindstedt and Janelle Gustafson. And Janelle, I'm going to come back and start with you because I apologize. I messed up your mascot's name up at University of North Dakota, but you are a recreational therapist out at the Minneapolis VA. And I understand that you work with Spinal Cord Injury and Disorder Center, but you also help our veterans with some wheelchair basketball and softball. How does that work, and how do you recruit the teams?
Well, some of our veterans that play regularly over the course of the summer play with local teams in the area, so that are made of a combination of veterans and civilian wheelchair athletes. But we get a chance to start out right at the VA. We can get the veterans while they're in the hospital or for outpatient appointments in our spinal cord center into a sports chair and get them moving in that equipment, so that gives them a lot more agility and quickness. And we have a sport court outside that we can shoot baskets or get a bat and ball in their hands. And then after that, we can take them out to practice with our local teams. One of the other things with some of these wheelchair sports is going to the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, that we have about 20 or so veterans going to Orlando this summer,
That's after they get really good at wheeling around.
Well, yes. Once they're really good at it, and even those novice athletes, when they're interested and ready to go, it's a great opportunity for them to go down and try it because they get a lot of mentoring with other veterans that have been there.
So those chairs are made a little different. They don't have the arms on them, and they've got room to move around and shoot and do things. Are they a little apprehensive when they first get in that?
Some are a little apprehensive, and some can't believe how fast they can move.
And they like that,
don't they? So, yeah, they like to get in and go fast and turn and just the freedom that some of the different equipment that we can work with them on really improves their quality of life and gets them back going fast and in the activities that they enjoy.
So that's back to the new normal, isn't it?
That's right.
Get out with other people with similar physical capabilities and try to have some fun.
You got it.
Casey, I understand that you work a little bit with some adaptive golf and movement.
I do. We have been fortunate to partner with the Minnesota chapter of the PGA, and they approached us, probably 8 years ago about wanting to bring and introduce golf to veterans. And so we've worked over the course of these last several years to develop a program. So they bring out the pros, we bring out the vets, and we have a good time at a course near the hospital. And they refine their golf skills. And it's not really about lowering your golf score, although that's a nice benefit, but it's about getting out and swinging the golf club and talking real smart with the guys next to you.
Talking real smart. By that you mean I've seen this. The PGA pros, and once they get used to the guys, they don't even talk about disabilities anymore. They just talk like normal people and throw insults around.
They do. There's a fair amount of that going around, and ultimately a good time is definitely had by all.
Well, it's good to get them out there and get back to that new normal. We've had the Veteran Service Organization on the show, the Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota. And the last time they were on, they were telling me about all the shooting events they go to where they shoot clays, and, and they do more things than I do.
Those guys are busy.
Oh, they just have a ball.
They do.
Janelle, you also work with some adaptive cycling.
That's right. One of the opportunities that we have through the VA is to help provide adaptive equipment for veterans, especially once they've been out and tried it, and there's hand cycles that we can get them out on, or recumbent trikes are the two most common kinds of equipment that we get going on. And that way, pretty much everybody can ride a bike is something I learned a long time ago. And just a matter of finding the right bike or partnering up. Some of our veterans that have low vision also get paired up and are riding on a tandem cycle. So everybody can ride, and it's really fun to be able to work with the veterans and see them get back to that. Even some were cyclists prior to us knowing them, and some are going to be new cyclists because it's a way that they can get out and get active and have fun with their family and friends and get out and do a 5K or a marathon.
Very good. We're speaking with Casey Lindstedt and Janelle Gustafson about recreation therapy at the Minneapolis VA and Minnesota Military Radio. So, Casey, once again, it's about getting the veterans who have been injured or have a problem to try new things, getting them started, and showing them that there is a new normal. They can have some fun. They just have to do it a little bit different. One of the things that Janelle said was, I didn't think about if your eyesight is going, you think, well, I can't ride a bike anymore.
Sure.
Or you can get on a double bike and pedal in the back, and the person in front can look for where you're going and tell him about what he's seeing.
What a great
way to get them out.
Oh, my gosh, it's great. And, I think rec therapists, we always believe there's a way. If there's something you want to do, we will help you find a way to make it happen. It probably won't look like the way you did it 10 years ago. That's the case for most of us anyway, right?
Things change.
But absolutely. But we always believe there's a way to get out and do the things that bring you joy in your life.
So, Janelle, it's really about getting a buy-in from the veterans and say, let's go. You can't be just sitting around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it takes a little convincing. And once we finally get there, it's off to the races.
And then they keep coming back saying, can I try something new? Can I try something new?
That's right.
And we've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of my friends that have some type of disability out on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And golf is something we can do as long as we can walk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely you can.
And it's great to see them out there golfing despite their disabilities. It's a lot of fun. They get out in the fresh air, be back with their buddies, spend a few hours, and forget about some of life's problems.
Exactly.
You guys, both of you, are sitting here smiling while we're talking about this. I think you enjoy what you're doing.
Well, I think we could easily say we have the best job at the VA.
I've heard that from several departments, so we're going to have a debate out there one of these days. Now, one of the other things that I saw in my notes here was that there's a veterans yoga program.
There is.
And I mentioned this before the show. I'm picturing all the beat-up veterans that I see every time I go give blood in the blood draw room. And they're in there, and they're kind of half awake, and they're just beat all to heck. I'm imagining all of those doing yoga while they're waiting to give blood. Is that crazy?
Well, our yoga class might look a little bit like that. It's exactly what you think it is. It's, vets from the VA showing up on Tuesday night. And I say, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. So it's mostly done from a chair. And we sort of adjust from there. But we kind of take the standing out, take some of the balance stuff out, and we just adjust from there. But if you can breathe, if you can stretch, sometimes it's just about showing up and connecting with somebody. But it kind of provides a forum to get them to relax for an hour and just slow their breath down and maybe get a real good stretch in for an hour a week.
Now, you're dealing with some older vets like me, Korean War, Vietnam, and so forth. Is this just the women veterans, the younger women veterans doing the yoga?
No way.
You're getting us old guys out there?
Absolutely. 98% of the attendees at yoga are guys just like yourself.
Janelle, tell me the truth. The guys are doing this?
Oh, yeah, it's true.
And after they try it once, they come back?
They do come back, and they'll even tell their buddies, hey, come try this.
On a serious note, they're building core strength, and they're getting some flexibility, and it helps them to do the other things that they want to do. Is that right?
Right. And it helps tie in their breathing with their movement, too, you think about how sometimes it's harder to move, the better we are connected from our brain to the rest of our body, the easier it is to do those things.
Well, I want you ladies to know that I tried yoga, but the instructor lady told me that I was the most difficult person she ever tried to teach. But
I
learned it.
Tom, I think you might have to come join Casey.
We'll see on Tuesday night. We'll see you on Tuesday night at the VA.
We'll see what we can do. Ladies, we just got a little short period of time left. Janelle, any final thoughts for our veterans listening?
Oh, I just want to thank all the veterans for their service. And we just so enjoy so much working with all of our patients at the hospital and helping them to find their way back to the things that are important to them.
And Casey, I imagine you're going to say, move.
That's absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for your service, and get out there and move.
Get it moving, move it or lose it, as they
say. That's right, exactly.
Ladies, it's been delightful having you in the studio today. Thanks for coming to visit.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
It was Casey Lindstedt and Janelle Gustafson talking about recreation therapy at the Minneapolis VA. Please stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk about the amazing work of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Chuck Haas, who's the chair of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Memorial Day is a time to honor the memory and service of all veterans and military who have given their lives in the service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the life of every single citizen in this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many paid the ultimate price. We can't even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but the legacy left and the pain of their absence endures. This Memorial Day, let us remember.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I indicated, joining me now is the chairman of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network, Chuck Haas. Chuck, welcome back to the studio. Good to see you. And that's quite a message from our good friend Larry Shelleteau.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back with you.
Well, it's good to have you here on this Memorial Day weekend when we're going to be on Monday. We're going to talk about Memorial Day. We're going to talk about the meaning of that day and all who have served and given their lives. But for the rest of us that are here and still trying to get through it, you were involved in forming the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network in 2010. Can you tell our listeners what's that all about?
Well, the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network is part of the Minnesota National Guard program to support our service members and their families throughout the deployment cycle.
And I'm told that this is your reputation. Now, I want to read this. The Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network has earned a reputation of enduring, dependable, and meaningful support for our military members and their families. And I've been watching for the last 8 years. You do an incredible amount of work, and you have a network of people that are involved in the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. If somebody calls and needs a couch, I've seen you put out the emails. Within about 30 minutes, I got a couch.
My biggest job is calling the second, third, and fourth person back and saying, sorry, you weren't quick enough.
That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've been able to help our military families in ways that people can't imagine. Is there a memorable time when you something that comes to mind quickly?
Oh, it's the moving. You know, when a family needs to pack up and move from one location to another.
That's always a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got one member of the family deployed and they have to move, it's even harder, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the spouse at home with two or three kids. They need help, and there's a lot of folks in all the different networks out there and the Yellow Ribbon cities and companies that are just glad to pitch in and provide muscle and support.
So you've provided assistance such as home repairs, car repairs, snow plowing, lawn mowing, moving, transportation, and help with payments of household and medical expenses. You must have one of the most busy Yellow Ribbon networks in the state.
Well, we are pretty busy, that's for sure. There's not a week goes by that we don't get a request for assistance through the family assistance centers, the county veteran service officers, the unit FRGs. They give us a call, the Army Survivor Outreach Service folks, and we're glad to help.
Now, Chuck, one of the things I've watched you do for years is have these parties on the weekend where you're putting together care packages to send to our troops, and that's something we have to do carefully. You can't just pack a care package, dump it on the Minnesota National Guard, and ask them to send it because they can't send it. You have to send it to a soldier or an airman or a Marine or a sailor. You have to send it to a specific unit, correct?
That's correct. We've been sending care packages since we began in 2010, but it was only in 2012 that I started keeping track, and in that time we've sent 34,000 pounds.
34,000 pounds in care packages to our deployed troops overseas. And what type of things do you put in there?
Well, we sometimes ask the units for wish lists. The most interesting wish list I had was when the 2135 was deployed to the Sinai and they wanted an underwater camera, which I thought was kind of interesting for the middle of the desert. But as they told me, they were near the Red Sea and they had fantastic snorkeling. So we sent them a couple underwater cameras along with eye drops and Girl Scout cookies and snacks and power bars, all that kind of stuff.
Now, Chuck, we've got some troops over in Kuwait, and we've got some more troops going. The 34th Infantry Division headquarters is going to deploy this fall, and they're out in the desert. And they have sandstorms and things, and there's certain things they need, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. Matter of fact, I've got a couple boxes in the car right now. I'm going to drop off at the post office on the way home.
Good work, Chuck.
And the eye drops, the Swifter wipes. Tom, you've been to Kuwait. There's dust everywhere, washing wipes.
We went over there for the Serving Our Troops event and did the radio show, and you were with us.
That's correct.
We were out in the desert, and there was the day we were doing the shows, there was a dust storm all day, and I think it was 110 degrees. You just can't get clean. You can't drink enough water.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're drinking a lot of water, and you get tired of that bottled water taste, don't you?
A lot of Crystal Light, powdered drink mixes. A lot of the barracks, they don't turn off the lights all the way. So some of the soldiers like those eye masks so they can darken, their bunk so they can get a good night's sleep.
We figured that out. You were over in the corner with the light on reading all that.
No, that wasn't me. No. And then they like little rugs for outside their barracks because the concrete floors are kind of tough to get up with on bare feet. And
that's just for us old guys.
And
even the young guys. We're talking to Chuck Haas, the chairman of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Chuck, there are a couple hundred Yellow Ribbon networks in Minnesota, and very few, from my observations, that have figured out how to send these care packages over there and do it correctly. And you've really done it well because, as you said, you sent 34,000 pounds and a lot of care packages over there. If those other Yellow Ribbon organizations want to help, Can you use a constant supply of some of these items?
Yes, we can. If they want to help donate wish list items, we'd be glad to do it. If they have soldiers from their local area that are deployed, we'd be happy to send them care packages.
All right. So if you have items that you want to provide, you can send those to the Hugo City Hall. Chuck happens to be a member of the council over there, and they help him out with this effort. Hugo does a great job. And so if your organization, your Yellow Ribbon Network, your church group wants to help provide items to our deployed military, get a hold of Chuck through the Hugo City Hall. They can use all the help they can get. And they need some items. They need some postage to help pay defer that cost.
That's correct. It takes about a buck and a half a pound.
And you can always use some volunteers.
Volunteers and coffee. I forgot to mention coffee. That's one of the biggest requests we have, ground or K-cups.
Well, I understand you just sent some of those to the Air Force KC-10 refueler air crews.
Yes, they're all around the world refueling all the different air frames. And I don't know if our coffee had anything to do with it, but that unit just won the Air Force's Best Air Crew Award.
They were wide awake, Chuck.
they were alert, sure.
That's always good when you're refueling. Better stay awake. Chuck, one of the other fantastic things that I've seen you do is you have a welcome home of the troops pheasant hunts over at Wild Wings of Anika Hunt Club. And I understand you've welcomed home every returning Minnesota National Guard unit from overseas deployments. How many events?
We've had 19. We're going to have our 20th one this fall when we welcome home the 148th Fighter Wing.
And I was fortunate enough to come out for one of those and follow the guys around and watch them. And you had my son out there as well. He's a Navy veteran. Those guys come out and they have a fantastic day at no cost. They have a wonderful meal, wild game feed, and they just have a ball.
Not sacrificing truth to modesty. We call it the best reintegration event ever.
I didn't see one guy that would disagree with that, Chuck.
And, you know, this wouldn't be possible without the great folks at Wild Wings, Jeff and Sue Hughes, their staff, their guides, all donate their time, make a tremendous financial sacrifice. And our sponsors, you had one of our major sponsors on last week, the Minnesota V4V Veterans Trust Fund, Minnesota Disabled Veterans Foundation, local businesses, and Patriot Sportsmen who make it happen.
And you continue to put these on year after year, and I think you put on a youth hunt too, didn't you, Chuck?
We've put on a couple of those, and we're having another youth hunt this September, thanks to the Pheasants Forever chapters in Washington County and Chisago Lakes for helping make those possible. And we have to have a salute out to Federal Ammunition, who are donating all the shotgun shells for the youth hunt and the pheasant hunt, soldier hunt this fall.
Federal Premium Ammunition, they're a great sponsor and a great partner of this show and all of your events. And Chuck, my spies tell me that the people that have helped fund these hunts have donated over $340,000 to make these events possible for our returning troops that were unable to hunt while they were gone for sometimes a year at a time.
That's correct. They missed an opportunity to go hunting, and we're glad to give them an opportunity to enjoy a good day of field.
Chuck, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak a little more to Chuck Haas, the chairman of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Program, and we're going to learn about a monthly burger night that they put on over in Hugo. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been chatting with Chuck Haas, who is the chair of the City of Hugo's Yellow Ribbon Network, which was proclaimed in 2010. And I think, Chuck, it's probably the busiest Yellow Ribbon Network that I'm aware of. With all the things you're doing to help people between the care packages and the pheasant hunts and monthly burger night, which we're going to talk about in a minute. We talked about sending out care packages, and you've sent out 34,000 pounds of those. But we have 300 members of the 148th Fighter Wing out at an undisclosed location, so don't even guess. And you've helped them as well.
Yes, we have. And we have two local firefighter groups supporting the particular firefighting unit of the 148th Fighter Wing. The Hugo Fire Department got together and put a bunch of wish list items together. And I've got those in the car. They're going out today. And Firefighter Special Teams, Jeff Loux out of White Bear Lake, is putting together a larger bunch of packages. We're going to pack and ship those on June 16th.
And what some of our listeners might not know is the 148th Fighter Wing, which is stationed out at Duluth, has the responsibility for firefighting up at the Duluth Airport. And of the 300 deployed airmen, 30 are a special firefighter unit. So that clicked with your City of Hugo firefighters, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Well, it's great that you're supporting them. For all our listeners out there, the Minnesota National Guard has airmen and soldiers deployed all over the world, and they've got another big deployment coming up. So if you're interested in helping them, get a hold of Chuck via the Hugo City Hall, and you can help him provide those packages. Now, Chuck, before we run out of time, you have a monthly burger night at the Hugo American Legion. That American Legion has been a great partner, haven't they?
They're a great partner. They let us come into their house, take over their kitchen, flip burgers on the grill, take over the banquet hall. We set up tables, and there's flowers on the table. And we have a crew that comes in and serves burgers from 5 to 8 on the fourth Wednesday of every month.
Fourth Wednesday every month. Now, you've been doing that since 2011?
Yes, we have.
Started with just 40 or 50 people?
40 or 50 people, and the Legion, we'd charge $6 for a burger, and they'd keep three, and we'd keep three for our mission work. And we started to think, well, how could we get that other $3? So we came up with the idea of a business sponsor. So we have business sponsors that provide a cash donation, and they provide volunteers to serve, and they invite their employees and friends of their employees to show up. And we shamelessly encourage competition among our business sponsors for the coveted Burger Night of the Year award.
Burger Night of the Year, and that means they get to support it 2 months next year, right? You haven't thought of that one yet.
No. Yeah, matter of fact, it's if you wanted to be a Burger Night sponsor, the next available opening is April of 2019.
And if you go out there and have a burger at this great price, excuse me, you might be surprised to see who your waiter is, because you've had generals, you've had sergeant majors, you've had all kinds of people out there.
We've had General Lloyd Ault and General Nash taking orders rather than giving them.
And wearing a yellow ribbon sweatshirt.
That's correct, yeah.
And hauling things around, taking care of all the folks that support you so you can support the families.
That's correct. And it's a great opportunity for our community members to get together and support the military. We have military families show up. If you are a family of a deployed soldier, come. You'll eat free. You'll dine on us that night. We have it's a family-friendly atmosphere. There's a big room for kids and kids' games to play with. And it's great food, burgers and fries. We get them special ordered from a friend that you connected us with, Tom.
Yep. Chuck Cryer, or Ken Cryer, goes out there and he helps make it a little bit easier on you to get your product.
Yes, it is. We have a great reputation for great food. And I think the most important thing about Burger Night is it gets the message out there to the community that we still have soldiers deployed.
Chuck, you're doing a great job. We got about 30 seconds left. This is Memorial Day weekend. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
There are still soldiers out there deployed, and their families need our support. Join up and help do that.
And if you'd like to help, you can always use volunteers.
Always volunteers. You can contact us through the Hugo City Hall Find us on our Facebook page, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Hugo, Minnesota.
And I have to admit to our listeners, I haven't been to Burger Night, so let's see how many of our listeners can beat me out to Burger Night, but I'll get there sometime this summer, Chuck.
We look forward to it, Tom.
Chuck, I think I've told you this many times before, but I'm in awe of all the work that you and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network do. Keep up the good work. You're doing great stuff, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Chuck Haas, the chair of the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. Wonderful to be with you today. Thank you.
Sergeant Major, do I have to ask you to look at your calendar to figure out what country you're in or what state you're in?
Well, I can tell you that I am on U.S. soil right now, but that'll be changing soon. And I'll be getting the opportunity to travel to Norway, which, of course, as you know, is one of our state. We have a great relationship with them and a bilateral agreement. And I know that you've done a show from Norway before. And so that's what I'm going to do, is participate in the Norwegian Exchange. 45 years, Tom, that we've had that relationship. And it's going to be a great experience to head over there next month.
Sergeant Major, we did have, I think it was last year, the opportunity to travel to Norway. And our hosts, the Norwegian Home Guard, were just fantastic. What wonderful people. And that's been going on for a long time. So this year you're going to go over there for the summer exchange. I believe they send 100 or so Norwegian Home Guard soldiers up to Camp Ripley, and we send 100 soldiers and airmen over to Norway. And, of course, on June 21st, we're going to record a show from Camp Ripley and see what's going on up there. So you're traveling to Norway.
Yeah, I sure am, and you're exactly right. It is an exchange program, and what I'm hoping to do is on the 21st, with any luck, Tom, I'll be able to give you a call and do my segment from Norway and let you know how things are going from over there.
We'll be excited to hear how your soldiers and airmen are doing over in Norway in the summertime. They won't get to go skiing or build any snow hotels to live in overnight, but I'm sure there's other good things to do.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to experiencing it because I have not been able to do that in the summertime yet.
And that's one of our two European partners. I understand we've got some Croatians here in town this week.
Yeah, we sure do. We've got the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Defense visiting, along with some other members. And we're taking them through, showing them some things about the Minnesota National Guard and, continuing to build that relationship, which is extremely important for us and, of course, that country of Croatia.
And that partnership's been going on for quite a few years as well.
Yeah, we're over 20 years with Croatia now, and it's just been a fantastic relationship, and I'm just looking forward to many more years to come.
It's really valuable for a lot of members of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard to meet our European partners in case we're needed.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it's important to have those relationships established so that when you're actually called to work together in a real-world scenario, that's not the first time that you're getting to know each other and understand each other's culture. So it's always great to be able to experience that well ahead of time so that we can hit the ground running.
Sergeant Major, we're coming up on the big Memorial Day weekend for 2018, and for the eighth year in a row, Minnesota Military Radio is going to be live on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 from 0600 to 0900. I'm going to get up at that old dark 30 and try to get to the studio.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to do all right. I mean, you know, it's old hat for you now, you know, eight times, so you're going to be great, and I know that you're going to have our Adjutant General there to help guest host, and I know it's always a great program. I look forward to hearing it.
Well, Sergeant Major, that's the one day of the year where we remember those who have given their lives in service to their country. It's an important day. It's not just a long family weekend. It's a day to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Is there someone special you think about that day?
Yeah, you know, I just want to echo real quick. You're exactly right. Most people just think about that being the day or the weekend that kicks off the summer. And although it does kick off that 100 days of summer, it is important to remember about those who made that ultimate sacrifice. And, of course, I'm always reminded each and every day, but especially on that day, the three MPs that we lost during my deployment to Iraq, in July of 2009. And I think about those three MPs. I also think about my grandfather, although he did not die in combat. He's a World War II veteran. So I think about him and, just everybody who's given that ultimate sacrifice for our country.
Sergeant Major, I think it's important to remember those we've lost in service to our country, but I think all of those we lost would want all of our listeners and everyone in America to enjoy the weekend and enjoy the freedoms that we have here in the United States because they paid the price for it. But it is a time where we need to remember.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We don't need to sit and sulk and, dwell on the past, but we do need to remember it, thank those, remember those that have made that sacrifice so we can continue to have the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. And I couldn't have said it better myself. So thanks for mentioning that, Tom.
Sergeant Major, always a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Have a wonderful weekend. Good luck on the show, and I will hopefully be talking to you next month from Norway. Take care.
Looking forward to it, Sergeant Major. Thank you.
You bet.
That was the Chief Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Casey Lindstedt, Janelle Gustafson, Chuck Haas, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we see how the Navy League is impacting Minnesota communities and learn about this year's Patriot Ride. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.